Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Phone calls and ticket texts, your reactions to Canadians booing our national anthem. It happened last night with the Red Wings and the Canucks. It happened Saturday night with the Wild and the Senators. Canadians booing the national anthem of our country because of the latest tariff from Donald Trump. 248-539-9797. How do you feel about it? Pete in Sarnia checking in with our Canadians. You're on 97.1.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. Love you guys. Listen to the show all the time. It's terrible over here. I just feel embarrassed by this. But what you guys got to understand is most Canadians love America. A lot of people respect Trump. But there's something going on that you got to understand. That's the large city centers might react this way. And also, you got to understand that we basically have state media over here. And sad to say, but a lot of people are really influenced by that and think everything that they hear on the news here is good and America, you know, orange man bad. And there's a lot of that. I hate to get political about sports, but this is where we're at right now. And I hope this doesn't continue, but please understand there's just some delusional politically certain leaning way people here in the large city centers that are going to act that way. By and large, everybody else is going to be very supportive and understanding and wish we had some leadership over here to take care of this thing and work it out as the friends that our two nations are, not be do things with animosity and calling names. Like they're acting like children over here. Our prime minister and our premiers are doing the same, except for in Alberta, Danielle Smith, who's doing a great job.
So, Pete, you are in favor of the tariffs?
I'm not in favor of the tariffs, but I understand. In fact, over here, the only thing you're hearing is that it's a trade deficit, and that is being talked about by Trump and others. However, they are also talking about the major concerns being border security and fentanyl trafficking across the border. We have a lot of problems in this country with loose immigration. And in fact, I heard from a Washington insider online the other day that in the last 4 years, 90% of the people captured in the United States on a terror watch list had residency somehow in Canada. That is unacceptable. That means I'm living with terrorists. Nobody here wants that. But we don't hear it on our news. You got to understand, our news is basically completely supported by government funding. So they support the government.
It puts a lot of context into it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of fentanyl, the USDA, I believe, says only 1% of fentanyl is trafficked between the U.S. and Canada border. Right. I don't know that that's a huge pressing issue factually. I just look at it and think, if I was a Canadian and someone was putting increased tariffs on my goods, and then we're going to retaliate, and it's just going to create this stupid, unnecessary bidding war where prices are going to go, I'd be upset too if I was feeling that, or anticipate feeling that pinch, because that's all it is right now. But you anticipate feeling a pinch, and you go, for what? For why? We're your buddies. We fought with you on stuff. We help you when you need help. What are we doing here?
Well, again, so
when the nicest people in the world are booing you, that kind of says something.
Yeah, but I mean, if you wanted to motivate somebody to do something, you're not going to, you know, you're going to give them a minute, and if it doesn't take hold, then you have to do something that may be a little uncomfortable.
Bringing this back to sports a little bit, there's enough response on Ticketex that people think this might happen in our country, booing our anthem at sporting events, using it as the stage to make their statement. You know, two of our players were put in a tough spot last night.
Yeah.
Todd McClellan chose, I have my opinions on it, but I'm not going to publicly comment.
Of course.
But Kane and DeBrincat were asked, and they're kind of like shocked by it a little bit, but then sort of like, yeah, well, we kind of know what's going on. But you're going to see people getting asked about this as you know, there is a Canadian NBA team. But it's just going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because as your humongous sporting event, if this thing just continues to boil over and boil over this coming Sunday, can you imagine a world where you hear some boos during the national anthem at the Super Bowl? I think it's in play.
Well, yes, we do have freedom of speech. And so if people want to object to that, there are, you know, more than two parties, but there are certainly going to be those from, you know, the Democratic Party in the stands. And if they feel like this is something that they don't approve of, then sure, they're going to use it as a moment.
And I'll say this too, you know, whether you support Trump or not, he would be brilliant for his base and how he likes to do his politics to say, look at him, they're booing us. That's Trump's game. Like, and so he could blow it up.
Sure.
We've seen the anthem be a vehicle for protest before. We all remember Colin Kaepernick and how that became incredibly divisive for people.
And it was a big deal when the Iraq war started, that this went on too in Canada. During hockey games,
they would boo the anthem.
It was a pretty big deal back then.
Let's get back to the phones. I want to hear from people on this. 248-539-9797. Next up is Jim in Windsor. Jim, good morning.
Hey guys, good morning. I really like your show. Thanks for all your work and research you put into things. I like being able to be at work and listen to you guys.
Thank you.
And talk to other people about other stuff. It's a lot of fun. But I have a real problem with people booing national anthems, period. It's just sports should be a spot that we don't have to do all that, right? And the problem that we have is in Canada. I've lived in Canada my entire life, and we have a problem with our leadership. People don't seem to really care that the fact that, like, our price of gas is absolutely nuts. Like, it's around, like, in the depending on what exchange rate you use, but in the States, gas could cost, what is it, like $3.60 a gallon right now? I can't remember exactly what it is, but in Canada, it's around $1.60 a liter Canadian, which, do the math and the conversion with the exchange rate, things are a lot more, but people don't seem to get all upset about that. And if you look at the actual price of gas, it all goes to taxes. So we've got a leader in our country and our province specifically our country, Mr. Trudeau,
he's not well liked, which is why he's quitting the job, right? I mean, they're not happy with him. I understand that. I understand being disappointed in your own country. I think that's part of self-expression, right? The idea is, like, you know, our country has freedom of speech. You can criticize your own government. If Canadians are disappointed in their own government, that's certainly something they have every right to feel. The reason why this is interesting is this is not Canadians pointing the blame at their flag or their anthem or their country. This is them booing our flag because of actions that we have taken.
Well, and they're allowed to have their opinion.
Of course.
And it does take, you got leaders on both sides, obviously Trump for the U.S. and Trudeau for Canada. And you know, it's it takes two to tango. So everybody could say, you know, if over there they can blame the U.S., they can blame Trump, but a lot of it you've got to have it on both sides.
Texter says, simple solution: we start calling Canadian geese freedom geese. Thought we could use a little levity. Ticket Texter says, good for the Canadians. I'm going to the Wings Wild game, considering not even standing for the anthem.
Come on.
Ticket Texter says, let's not tiptoe around this. The booing is 1,000% justified. Our president is applying tariffs to an ally in which he negotiated the initial contracts during his first term. We are acting as traitors to Canada and the world. I would be booing the anthem myself if I was at the event. This is disgusting. Zero justification. Nick in Ferndale. Ticket Texter says, Canadians booing the national anthem is disgraceful. Be mad at the Canadian government. Don't bring that crap over here, Corey in Detroit. Let's get back to the phones where we have Steve in Pontiac. Steve, what do you think?
So, yeah, how you guys doing? So my whole thing is right now, the pointing back and forth, the Democrat, Republican, Canada, this, that, is exactly what this is all designed to do and keep us entertained and busy arguing with each other. When in reality, we just raised the prices on one of our closest neighbors, and we're going to continue to raise the prices on everybody else in the world. And the world is going to react the same way. So we are isolating ourselves. We are fighting with each other while the rest of the world kind of just sits back, watches, and waits to make their move. And blaming city centers or blaming Trumpers or blaming whoever is not going to solve the problem, as we all pay more and the rich get wealthy and we sit here and struggle. It's as simple as that. Quit pointing fingers at each other and look up.
Steve, appreciate the phone call. I mean, everything I've read, and I'm not an economist and I don't pretend to be, is that tariffs have that effect, that they will increase prices, which nobody is happy about, which is what creates frustration. Everybody's paying their bills and doesn't want to feel like they're not getting as far.
Right, but it's all about what are you trying to get out of the country
that you're putting a tariff on.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and so I think there's...
But I didn't know that Canada was doing us some disservice that needed to be wrong, that needed to be righted, I guess.
Well, it's... I mean, when you take a look at, you know, what is coming into this country...
Oh, of course you want to crack down on stuff. Of course
No. I'm talking about like just the good stuff. Like, I mean, and what we're not allowed to send north of the border. Like, it needs to be evened out.
Well, then redo the deal would be the point, right? Like, work together, okay, come up with a deal.
Yeah, are they sitting down to redo the deal?
I don't know. I mean, that's a great point, John. I certainly would be in support of working out a deal with our neighbors to the north and not just flippantly throwing a tax on them. But anyway, I know it's clearly, look at all these pages of ticket text. Clearly, people have a lot to say. We are going to talk about the Red Wings coming up at 9:35. We'll get to Heather's news and some of your response next. It's 97.1.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. They're going to sit down with you and get to know you as best they can so they can build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. And that's something I use on a daily basis. It is easy to use and it's very useful. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. And they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, so the issue has come to our doorstep. It's in the arena of sports, and we are right there on the border. Canadians booing the United States national anthem last night at the Red Wing game, among other sporting events over the weekend. As you can imagine, Ticket Text is quite something today, John.
Divided?
Yes. We read through some of these. We'll talk Jack Flaherty. We'll talk about our hockey team. But just to see where the people are at.
Some of the people.
Some. Yes, a handful. I got 5 or 6 to get through here. This one says, one of the funniest things about Canadians booing the national anthem before the Wings game is Vancouver's captain and best player, Quinn Hughes, is American-born and raised right here in Canton, AJ and Wixom. My first reaction to Canada booing us was, oh no, we really bleeped up now. Canada might as well just declared war. They have every right to be upset, and anyone who counter-boos is in the wrong. Dan in White Lake. Bill says the only idiots booing the anthem are the liberals who are mad at Trump and the fact that he won. Canadians can just get over it. We have a president that stands up for us, but I agree politics can stay out of sports.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back and forth. Tire shop Ben, this is ridiculous. Politics don't belong in sports. It's disappointing that people are bringing that to the game. It's not the place for it. You guys are way off base. The Canadians booing our anthem is a joke. They tariff the crap out of our products and are complicit in funneling fentanyl. They're not booing us. They're booing Trump. I have no issue with that. Dave in Wixom. So that's just some of the smattering of the response we're getting on this. And in terms of us booing them, the Wings don't play a Canadian team until the end of March. The Pistons don't host the Raptors again this season. We aren't going to have that to see how we react here in Detroit.
No.
We may see it in other cities. We may see how this goes. I think the Four Nation face-off kicks off later in February here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of that too. Jack Flaherty. John, your reaction to him coming back to Detroit?
Welcome back. It's awesome. We never get a chance to see, having just sold him off for parts that could be very useful in the near future, in the distant future, and then you get that part back. Now you're paying him more. He's coming back with some good experience.
Yep.
He's got himself a ring. It's the irony of opening up with the Dodgers as well. You know, if they're going to have a ring ceremony at that time, he'll get his and bring it over to the dugout and
kind of weird,
show everybody
right?
How this is what we're working for. But he does have that experience at the postseason and having success in the postseason. But I mean, when it comes down to it, we all wondered, are they going to be willing to spend money? Now, it hasn't happened at the pace that anybody wants it to. Want to have the roster solidified, know exactly who we have, and we want it to be really good players across the board. There's still time. Scott Boras is going to drag this out as long as he possibly can to try and maximize the dollars that any of his clients, but especially the one that we've talked about the most, Alex Bregman, to be able to get. This is Tarek Skubal and now Jack Flaherty, a 1-2 combo that we saw at the beginning of last year that was very effective.
He was great with Federer, right? Chris Federer unlocked something in Jack Flaherty, got him back to where he was at his best, and arguably pitched better here than even he did in St. Louis at times.
Oh, yeah.
I know they won without him. They made the run last year without Jack Flaherty. You still got to get through 162. The guy was a great 1-2 punch with Tarek Skubal. It's a winning move to bring Jack Flaherty back. The structure, it's essentially a one-year deal. It's got an option for year two, but it'd be a pay cut even if he pitches 15-plus games. The short-term deal for a guy who's been inconsistent kind of cuts both ways, right? Protects you a little bit, protects him a little bit. It's a winning move for this year. Just add the bats and we can party, right? That's what just comes back to that. Just add the bats and we can party because this rotation is going to be very good.
And what they were able to do in the final 50 games, let's just call it 50 for a nice round number, is not sustainable, as you mentioned, over 162. Just imagine what it would have been if Jack Flaherty had been a part of that.
Think about what Harris did here. He traded away Flaherty, got Trey Sweeney, who may be the team's starting shortstop this year, was down the stretch last year, picked up a top 100 hitting prospect in Lorenzo. People are excited about him. Made the playoffs anyway, and then added Flaherty back to this team. I mean, it really is, Harris has taken his lumps. This is maybe one of his finest achievements, is turning this around that way.
And it's been reported by those that have the sources that say they're still in the Bregman sweepstakes.
Yes, Buster Olney has said they are still in the mix.
So this doesn't,
they didn't spend all their money.
Yeah, you're spending your dollars. Okay, now you have nothing left to spend. And the question is going to be, when does Alex Bregman make that decision? And obviously, we want it to be here in Detroit, but is it going to be by the 12th? That's what pitchers and catchers report. Is it, I think it's the 19th that everybody else reports a week later? Mm-hmm. I mean, so when is it that he's going to make his decision? Is it even into spring training?
Into March? Yeah, that's when Matt Chapman signed a year ago, just to use, a third baseman whose market didn't materialize and dragged it out and signed a short-term deal with opt-outs. Yeah. I don't know that Detroit wins the short-term opt-out thing. I think there are ballparks that are better suited for Bregman, but I'm of the belief Detroit's made a competitive offer. I don't know if it's the best offer, but I think they have a competitive offer out there, and clearly he is their priority. Because they haven't addressed third base in any other meaningful way. They've intentionally left that open, and all the reports are they're in on Bregman. This is a priority for them, but they got to get home with it. And if they don't, because takes two to tango, maybe takes a lesser offer, prefers a shorter structure with opt-outs. Harris, you're going to have to make a trade. And he said he's open to it. They got a big prospect pool, highly rated prospects. Make a move. Address the bats. It can't just be Gleyber Torres if you're trying to bridge the gap from
making
the playoffs.
Which is only a one-year deal.
Right. If you're trying to not just make the playoffs, but make a little more noise and progress and make a run, you're going to need more.
And something that you can build on for years to come. I love the Gleyber Torres signing, but that's a one-year deal. So what are you going to do next year? Again, that's next year's problem. But at some point, along with this young core that is building, and we saw it produce at the end of the year, not as much as you're going to need it to produce over 162, but it was an opportunity to say and look and say, what can we do to supplement and add to this core over the course of the next 4 or 5 years?
248-539-9797. Heather, what's going on in the news?
Jared Goff is hoping to expand Detroit's sports portfolio.
Oh.
So he has joined a group hoping to bring a WNBA franchise back to town. So Tom Gores would be the controlling owner, submitted a formal bid on Thursday, and then other investors include Sheila Hamp, Grant Hill, and Chris Webber.
Hey, Shaq won a title.
Mm-hmm.
Had some good crowds. Yeah. WNBA is more popular now than then. Why doesn't Detroit have a team? I get it.
Yeah, why not? Sad news. I feel like there's been a lot of sad news recently. Obviously, the plane crash.
Yeah.
The other plane crash in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Then this awful hyperbaric chamber explosion that killed this 5-year-old Royal Oak boy. devastating news. Then I look online and three children have died after being trapped in a house fire in West Bloomfield on Sunday night. First responders were called out to the this house fire around 8 p.m. And although they responded within minutes, the children inside were unable to get out. 16 years old, 15 years old, and 12 years old all died from their injuries. Investigators are still working to figure out what caused this house fire. Just tragic news. It's like, I just want to see positive news, right? Like, it's just devastating. Here's some interesting news. Michigan's shortest fishing season was back this year, and it lasted only 17 minutes.
I know.
Literally the shortest fishing season.
This is one of my favorite days of the year.
The 2025 Lake Sturgeon fishing season on Black Lake began at 8 a.m. on Saturday, and it ended at 8:17 a.m. when the quota of 6 sturgeon was reached.
It is
so funny.
I mean, it usually generally lasts less than an hour.
Oh, it's really quick. I mean, I know that it's typically, it's like either when the quota is reached or they give it like a day, basically, right?
Right,
like they have a time frame. It is short anyway, but
yeah, and it never makes the time frame because as soon as they got DNR officers right there, and they're all radioing across, hey, we got one, we got two, we got three on the ice.
Yeah, within 3 minutes, the first one was caught.
Yeah,
and then it, boom, 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 rapid fire from there. They say the largest harvested this year was 64 inches long and weighed 78.3 pounds.
That's amazing.
So yeah, kind of. Interesting. Yeah. Also interesting, over the years, Pete Davidson collected hundreds of tattoos. I mean, his body was covered in them, right? But 4 years ago, he decided to start the long process of removing all of his ink. And just recently, while he was promoting his new movie, Dog Man, he appeared on the Today Show, and he talked about this incredibly painful process that he is going through. I mean, he was covered.
Yep.
Yeah.
In tattoos. So
I had one removed, and he's right. It to me, it's never hurt to get a tattoo, but getting one removed, yes, it is not comfortable.
I've been in a building, or in not the same room as somebody getting one removed, but in maybe the room next to that person, and I heard the sounds, and it did not sound fun. I don't think this woman was enjoying herself very much at all.
She was a screamer.
Well, I mean, yes, John.
She was loud.
She was very loud. While she was getting her tattoo removed. Yes. Hey, congrats to a local couple who got engaged over the weekend in interesting fashion. They went to the Howie Mandel and Arsenio Hall comedy show. They were at MGM Grand. Yeah, exactly.
What year
is it? And they got engaged. Harrison Township man Steve called on stage, obviously pre-planned, right? Because they had some jokes for him. And then he brought his girlfriend of 3 years up, Dora, and proposed
to her. Just exploring the stage, wasn't she?
She was. Dora, yeah.
Why does she shout all the time? Not Dora, the new bride, but
the Dora the Explorer.
Yeah, she's always screaming.
Is she? I don't.
She's got to get your kids' attention. Hey, pay attention.
Vamanos, let's go. I don't know why she screamed. I didn't know she did, but.
Yes. Just hope that your daughter doesn't get into the whole Dora
thing.
I
don't think she will. Oh, you know what she's into now, though?
What?
She's probably way worse than Dora. Blippi.
What's Blippi?
You don't want to know.
Is that different than Bluey?
Oh, Bluey's fine. Blippi.
What's Blippi?
I've not heard of Blippi.
Oh, thank God. You're lucky, John. Right. You're lucky.
I'm going to have to
Google that.
Keep Emily away from Teddy for a while.
Oh, it's bad. It's
Heather,
real bad.
Heather with the news. We'll talk Red Wings next. Where's this thing headed? They are now in the playoffs as of today. It's 97-1. We all start the new year off. We got resolutions. Maybe play better hockey would be one of them. Better diets, workout plans. But don't forget about your smile. At Brightside Dental, there's no judgment. If you put off seeing a dentist last year, make a plan to come and see them this year. If it's been even longer than that, if you're feeling self-conscious, it doesn't have to be that way. 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. They're not going to shame you. They're just going to take care of you. Brightside Dental offers same-day appointments for dental emergencies, and they've got 9 Metro Detroit locations, including the newest in Trenton. And that's 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. Brightside Dental, no judgment, just care. It's Ken Cal on the call. I want to hear that again.
So does that officially mean that the car flags will be flying?
Music to my ears. Sure. I mean, I'm so excited that they're playing this kind of hockey now. It's feels a little deja vu. We did this a year ago.
Does it feel different? That's the question for Red Wing fans. Does it feel different? The collapse last year, they were in a much better spot.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't make it at all. So what's different now? Obviously, Todd McClellan.
Yeah, leadership.
Yeah.
I think that makes all the difference in the world because you look at the two rosters and kind of like I would put the edge to last year's roster, but Todd McClellan has been able to come in and make changes and adjust things. They go on a three-game skid. All of a sudden, hey, they're back to winning. Like he addresses the issues. And now you're looking at a team that's playing with confidence. It looks like they actually want to be on the ice. In the first half of the season, it didn't look like they want to be out there.
Six straight wins. All of them, they've given up two or fewer goals. That's winning hockey. And some of it is defense. They're blocking a lot of shots, 23 against Calgary on Saturday night. Some of it's their goalie steps up. Look, like they had one shot on net yesterday in the third period. Kind of on fumes. Going to need your goalie to make a couple plays. Alex Lyon had 45 saves in Edmonton. Like, everything is better. Like, the penalty kill, which was terrible, is a little better. Their power play is best in the league. They've got the best record in the sports since McClellan took over. This feels real. I mean, it feels like more than 2 weeks. It feels like more than a bump. It's a month plus now.
Well, and the question is, as you asked, do you trust this more than you did last year? Because you pointed out they were in a much better position at the end of February last year. Now, we're only at the beginning of February. They can get to where they were last year, and that was what? That was nine above the cut line.
Yeah, and that was in February.
Yeah, and it was, I can't remember the actual
date. March even early. I don't know.
It was, but the epic collapse at the end of the season, and there was no one there to right the ship.
Yeah.
Now, you thought you might get it from Patrick Kane, from some of the veterans on the team, Alex DeBrincat, even though he's not as seasoned as Kane is, he's still a vet. You didn't have it, so then it's got to come from the coach, and you didn't get it. You didn't get it at the beginning of the season. Now, all of a sudden, Todd McClellan has a way of addressing his team, making some changes on the ice, how he's working the rotation, how he's playing five on five. The defense, to me, is probably what stands out the most, and you're seeing it in better goalie play. Now, okay, they haven't been standing on their head, but they are playing better.
Last year, it was Lyon and Reimer, really, right? Because Husso got injured, and they were put in a tough spot, and they're playing a two and a three, a second goalie and a third goalie. Well, this year, I think they're a little more stable in net. They've still got Lyon, but they're not asking him to be the number one. Talbot can share that spot, and they have two twos. Two one and a halves, guys who are somewhere, they're not number one goalies, but between the two of them, can you cobble it together? Can you manage the workload so one guy doesn't have to? Because Lyon really started to die off a little bit when they ran into some trouble, and then it was a coin flip. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Goalie play is better. Defense is stabilized. Some of that is they've just possessed the puck more. You know, we had Stoney on Friday, and he was all about the forecheck. Whatever it translates to is you take the puck away, you hold the puck, you're in the O zone, you have it, they don't. It's why instead of being outshot every night, they've evened that up for the most part. Now, again, yesterday they're in their third game on four nights. They didn't deserve to win that game, and they got away with one, which is also really important here because you have to steal games when you dig yourself a hole as deep as they did.
Right, and their goal, what they've allowed the six-game winning streak, nine goals only,
yeah,
which is that's very impressive. And I think they are making the playoffs. I've bought in the last week. Like, I was skeptical. I was like, this is no different than last year. Let's see more. But to me, way more in a coach bump now. Most points in the NHL since they fired him. I mean, the sample size is big enough now, right? They had a 7-game winning streak. Now they have a 6.
Yep.
I mean, the longest in the franchise history is 9. You know?
They can't get there by the break. All right.
Right.
They
That'd
can only
great.
Get to 8.
That'd be great if it was 8 going into the break.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple keys. Obviously, how do they respond after the break where you're going to have a couple weeks off and that'll cool off a hot hockey team? The other thing will be shortly thereafter the trade deadline. What, if anything, can they do to make this team even just a little bit better? Stuff they didn't do last year, right? You look back to could 1 point here, 1 point there. Yeah, it came down to 1 point. Larkin got hurt last year. You're going to need, I know, maybe you can absorb it if Raymond continues and if Casper continues, but you need to stay relatively healthy.
Yeah.
And you're going to need these young players to not hit a wall. Right, like Edvinson and Johansson are playing big minutes as your second pair. They're both technically rookies. You have Casper up on the first line, and I think he is playing with so much confidence. You can't hit a wall, and if you do, you got to hop over it. These are the things you'll watch in the next 2 months here, but they're absolutely alive.
But it also feels like they're if you do hit a wall, and I do think at some point there's going to be a streak, whether it's 3, 4 games, I don't know, maybe it's only 2. where they are going to have to get over that hump, but it feels like there is an adult in the room that can get them over that hump, that can get them back on the right path, and that's obviously Todd McClellan.
Right. It's just gotten, and it's so indicting of just how bad it was under Lalonde. Too much has happened. They have 29 points since Lalonde was fired. They had 30 with Lalonde. I mean, the numbers are just starting to become like, it's really unbelievable how one-sided, like, it was so bad one way, and now it's so good this way.
If Yzerman at the end of last year took the approach that we fell just short and our coach was part of the problem, even if he didn't want to say the whole problem, and made the coaching change, how differently are we looking at this right now?
Yeah,
if McClellan is the guy in camp and is the guy who's empowering these players from the jump, I mean, we're not talking about being on the playoff fringe right now. We'd be talking about trying to set up some home ice.
But maybe it had to happen this way.
Maybe.
I do buy into that. I'm not quite sure if things are exactly the same if it's from the get-go. You know, the pressure, all the players knew the S is about ready to hit the fan because of how this all played out for them. And it was going to fall. So there's definitely, you know, you get surprised sometimes, but professional athletes have to be kind of be whipped into shape a little bit, or they're not always trying as hard. There's clearly an effort thing going on here too, and that's an indicting of them.
Sure.
You know, but good for them. They've turned it around. The enticing thing now is that they're top wild card, and they're 1 point behind Ottawa for third place in their division, and if you get that, you would currently be facing the Toronto Maple Leafs in a playoff series, which would be unbelievable.
Because they blow it every year in the playoffs.
Right, which would be nice to have them here.
Yep.
And do it. But you bring up, I think, an interesting point where sometimes professional athletes do need to it is their job, and they do need to be motivated at times. I think it comes down to more, the word I would use is accountability. Mm. They need to be held accountable for what they're doing, whatever sport it is. And if you're not, then that's the hard part, because you do have contracts, because you do have, you know, you can't just cut a guy or trade a guy and say, oh, I'm, you know, hey, here's the threat, I'm going to get rid of you. There's got to be other ways to hold guys accountable. And it feels like Todd McClellan has been able to do that.
Exactly. But at the same time, too, the players, once this went down the day after Christmas, you know, you'd be talking to your teammates separately from the coach. The coach comes in, he gives his opening remarks. This is, you know, whatever, when you're taking over McClellan. But these players talked after that happened. Wouldn't you love to know what was said on the phone? Because I bet there was some of this. It's us now.
Yeah.
Because the coach is gone, and the captain hero is in the front office, so he ain't going this year. Wouldn't you just have enough common sense to realize it's on us now?
Yeah. I mean, they've pretty much removed the one obstacle that everybody was talking about. That was Derek Lalonde. And now it's going to be squarely on the players.
Because there's no excuse at that point.
We accused them back in November of floating and being stale.
Yep. I mean, I remember going to those games.
No one would make that accusation now.
No. But going to those games and they get down 3 goals midway through the second period and then 4 goals. And you go, what the hell is this?
So, something I would bring up while Lalonde was the coach is it never felt like they played 3 periods in a row of good hockey. You'd have one here and then there'd be two. Or you'd have two to start the game and then you'd finish with a bad one and you'd lose a game. Now it feels like there are adjustments being made. If you have a bad period, it's going to happen. You're going to have a bad game.
Yeah.
But it's about the adjustments. It's how do you get this team back on track? And that's where it comes down to leadership.
248-539-9797. There is some deja vu. Wings got red hot last year. Didn't make the playoffs. They're red hot this year, currently in the playoffs. Why will things be different and your level of confidence? Talking some hockey. It's 97.1. Ken Kell's call. Red Wings win. That's 6 in a row. Ticket Texter says, please stop saying they're in the playoffs. They are not in the playoffs. You must include the words, if the season ended today. I think we're all aware the season doesn't end today, right?
Yes.
I'm going to make a bold statement that most of you listening are generally aware of how the NHL schedule works and know the season does not end on February 2nd.
Right. And they haven't locked a playoff spot.
They haven't clinched a playoff spot.
So we had somebody saying you're the jinx just like last year and keep you away from games. They've won. You've been to games since this stretch,
yeah,
right?
I've been to games that they've won, yes.
However, I got a couple questions if they make the playoffs. Do you get a first dibs because you were in a season ticket package for 20 games?
It's a good question. I would assume we have the ability to buy playoff tickets.
You get priority, like the priority patch?
That's a setup. I don't think we'll get the same priority as like season long, like full season ticket members. But yeah, I'm planning on buying playoff tickets if they're in.
If memory serves me right, you were at Ford Field for the Commanders game, right?
I was.
Were you at Comerica for game four?
I don't like this line of questions.
On Twitch,
I was also in game three that they won.
Oh, okay. So you're off the hook.
Right.
I didn't know you went to game three, so there you go.
So on Twitch, I had to scroll back because we've kind of moved on from this, but it was brought up. Now what kind of bit is Cookies going to use to kill this run?
I'm enjoying it. As we all should.
Let's be transparent, because the Blues in 2019 went from worst to Stanley Cup. Everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Part of that was their Gloria song that they kind of rally behind. That was like considered post-disco era.
Why does this come back to this? I was looking up the 2019 Blues because they are the greatest example of lightning in a bottle. And the Wings right now are lightning in a bottle, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's gone on for more than a month.
Yeah.
What the Blues did, they were in last place on December 31st, the year they won the Cup. They made an in-season coaching change. They were dead last. They rode a goalie who had never played in the NHL, Binnington, all the way. They didn't make any major moves at the deadline. They didn't have some point-per-game star forward. They won multiple Game 7s, including the Stanley Cup Final. They are the ultimate lightning in a bottle team. And yes, they had Gloria as their song. Apparently the guys were out one night and it was playing at either whatever bar or restaurant. And they said, you know what? Keep playing it.
Yeah.
And they won that night and they made it their anthem the whole run. We don't have that yet for the Wings, but keep winning.
No, that's it. Just keep playing good hockey. That's all we want to see. And by the end of the season, do I think that they're going to be 1 point in the playoffs, or could they be, you know, top three in their division? Sure.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably more than likely. Just play good hockey and hit it as they come.
As McClellan said.
Yes. Yes. You could go ahead. I got my finger on the dump button. Go ahead and say it.
Yeah, right. Play effing hockey. Let's get to Trip in Wixom. Good morning, Trip.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How's it going?
Good morning.
Good, real good. It's been a great time watching these Wings. I mean, when the coach took over, McClellan took over, what, they ripped off 7 wins. Now they've ripped off 6. Mm-hmm. I think it's a leadership change. I mean, he played with Babcock. He's a great coach. There's history there. And the guys really like playing for him. That's what I see.
Yeah, I mean, he's pushed all the right buttons. And he came in and he was pretty upfront about it. Anytime the in-season coaching change happens, things are not going well. You're walking into a bad spot. He knew that. They didn't have a full camp to get guys up to speed. He took the first game to just kind of observe. Wasn't trying to, you know, make changes in the first 24 hours, but said, I got to get to know these guys. They got to get to know me. They got to trust me. I got to learn what they do. And I think to the players' credit, they did want to be coached. They wanted someone in to come in and, you know,
hold them accountable.
Crack the whip, so to speak, and really, hey, what can we do to get more out of these guys? And they've responded. Yeah. So take it for what it is. No one's going to.
Well, they've responded at every level, whether it's power play, it's offense, it's defense, it's goalie play. It's all been better. And when you do it in conjunction, it's not just, hey, for a week, you're getting better goalie play. And then that falls off and you're getting better play on the power play. Like it's all happening at the same time, which is producing more wins, more points, and they have, since the coaching, they've been one of the best teams in the NHL.
Yeah, like I won't be surprised if they lose to Seattle tomorrow night. Just this is a long road trip. They kind of got away with one the last game. They are going to lose some hockey games, but I think what makes you feel good is they've got a coach and they've got a belief system now and a structure, more importantly. They're possessing the puck. They're putting shots on net. They're blocking shots. They've got a structure in place to where if they lose one or two, you trust them to go rattle off 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or even 7 in a row. I think that's what makes you feel like it's going to be different, where if they do start to skid, it won't be as ugly of a skid as they had a year ago.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe they do add at the deadline this year.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.